You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Everybody, and welcome to another edition of Tunnel Vision, a show brought to you by USCFootball.com. I'm Rose Killior, joined by Ryan Abraham, and no, that's not a stranger sitting next to him. That's Shotgun Stratling without a hat and with a haircut. Ladies and gentlemen, he's going all out for his final, what we think to be determined, in-person Tunnel Vision show.
How many final ones of these has he had? He's had a whole bunch of these.
We gotta send him out right. Okay. You know, it's for the time being, this is gonna be his final. Hey, we didn't get to send Dan off properly, so I'm putting all my energy into sending off Shotgun properly.
Perfect. Okay.
So we got a fun show for you guys today. We got a lot to talk about. Early signing period is underway. Yesterday was an interesting day for the Trojans. We'll get into that. We'll talk about what's going to happen tomorrow. We get to talk to Lincoln Riley. He's going to have his first presser, signing day presser as head coach for USC. We're also going to see some announcements. Damani Jackson, where is he going to end up? Then we're going to talk about the 2022 schedule that came out for the Pac-12 conference today. So we'll talk about how USC is shaping up for next season. And of course, the Shotgun farewell. We'll talk about him a little bit, and maybe some favorite memories and whatnot, or put your favorite memories in the comments wherever you're watching, whether it be Facebook, Periscope, or YouTube. Put your comments, questions, or concerns. We'll try and answer them as best as we can. If you want to tweet at us, #television, I'll put your tweet up on the screen. Also, just a disclaimer, we were having some technical difficulties before the show started. I think everything's okay, but if something goes wonky,
we're crossing the fingers.
Crossing that we can do it and we can get through the show, but just the disclaimer there. And also, programming note, we talked about having Brandon Sosna on the show. We got that figured out. We're going to have a special Tunnel Vision on Monday with USC Athletics Chief of Staff Brandon Sosna. He'll be in studio with Ryan and I, so that'll be fun. Look forward to that.
Out with Shotgun
as well.
And with Brandon.
I think he'll be somewhere in the Oklahoma or something.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Somewhere in the Oklahoma. Well, a lot to talk about. Like I said, First off, early signing day period. I think the P was very excited, and I think once you have so much hype leading to a day, there's a little bit of a letdown. Where do you guys stand on how USC has fared so far in this recruiting cycle?
Yeah, I mean, when you start in the hundreds, right? Like, it's a long climb out. It's like a Batman climbing out of the Bane thing, you know, and it's like a long climb to get out of there, you know, like the Bane dungeon thing that he was put in there. And, you know, Batman had his back broken, you know, USC lost its head coach, and they bring in Lincoln Riley late. And I think he's done a good job. Obviously, you get like 3 5-star recruits in 3 days. But 2 of those guys are for next year's class. And one of them was for, you know, Raelic Brown for the class of 2022. And, you know, you got a couple announcements, but just wasn't going to be a whole lot. Now, there's, you know, there could be some more still coming tomorrow. You know, more good news potential for USC. Guys that have signed that won't announce until the All-Star game's coming up. CJ Williams, who formerly committed to Notre Dame, now is apparently down to USC and UCLA, according to his Twitter, just like half an hour ago or something like that. So there's still some good news out there. And, of course, the transfer portal is going to be a big part of this. But as far as like the early signing period, getting 6 guys to be signed from high school and, you know, one from Australia, it's not going to be as big of a deal as it's normally going to be. I think the 2023 one will be a lot different. This might be the last, actually, December signing period we see. There's just a whole lot of hype around that, like getting rid of this early signing period, which I don't like. I don't think anyone here likes. So it's a little underwhelming, I guess you could say. But I think when you look at when the full class comes together in February, it's going to be pretty good compared to what they could have been, I think, if you just rolled with Clay Helton or if you brought somebody else in. I think Lincoln Riley's, at least there's some guys that are delayed until February, which was a little bit better than what we would have seen if everyone just signs in December, which we've seen last year. I think it was like 94%. signed in December.
A little bit different this cycle because of the coaching carousel.
Yeah. You know,
how many coaches were on the move and stuff. So a lot of guys said, I'm going to hit the pause button. I'm going to wait until February to sign. And for USC, there were some big names that did that were trending away from USC at this time. They were to sign in December, likely going to sign somewhere else. And, hey, they may still sign somewhere else in February.
Sure.
But gives USC a better chance. Guys like five-star offensive lineman Devin Campbell, they can potentially get him back on campus for an official visit. Now with a new head coach, you know, they only had basically a week and a half. They had 2 weekends to try to get recruits in. 1 weekend was unofficial, all local guys, and then the one official visit weekend.
Yeah.
So now this gives them, you know, once the dead period ends in, I believe, mid-January, around Martin Luther King, maybe a week before that, you know, they have 3-4 weeks where they can bring kids in and have a chance to sell the program, have a full staff eventually,
yeah.
and then they'll just get some more clarity on where the roster is going to be on some of the guys that they've told. Maybe, hey, maybe it's best you go somewhere else, and they're waiting for that decision. Some guys that are waiting to make an NFL decision or a transfer decision, you know, just to get clarity, okay, where do we need to be really targeting? And then what else is going to be in the transfer portal? Because there's going to be more guys go in.
Right.
You know, there was a 2-year starter from Virginia, offensive tackle, that went in.
Yeah.
So, you know, USC had a former Virginia offensive tackle already on campus. Hey, maybe they bring in that, you know,
another
book in.
Sure, yeah.
So yesterday on the surface did not look like a very good day for USC. One, because there were a couple names out there that could have been home runs for him. Marvin Jones Jr., the 5-star linebacker, took an official visit to USC last week, middle of the week. Now, just getting him to take that official visit is showing the power of USC and the power of Lincoln Riley and his staff. But, you know, we're hearing that, you know, it's USC, Georgia, you know, Florida State in the mix a little bit. And then he doesn't even have a USC hat on the
table.
He had
3 hats, and USC wasn't one of them.
Yeah, so it was like, oh, okay, no, never mind. That's not actually a possibility.
Unless he was going to, like, pull it from under the table. Like, oh, that's psych, I got the USC.
You know, Travis Hunter style.
Yeah.
So that one, you know, not good optics there for USC. I thought they had a little bit better chance there. They missed out on Andre Roy, the offensive lineman, who they were trying to flip from Penn State. He flips, just not to USC. He stays in his home state, stays at Maryland. And then actually the biggest one, I think, came at night was Elias Ricks announcing that he's going to go to Alabama. The number one cornerback transfer on the market, one of the top, like, 3 transfers, and a guy from Southern California, legacy from USC. So you thought that USC had a pretty good chance there. He just visited USC with Damani Jackson, some of the other modern-day guys that he knew. So looked like they had, you know, the fighter's chance. But it's Alabama, it's Nick Saban, and he's produced a lot more than what this coaching staff can say they produced at USC, which is nothing so far. So, you know, I think on the optics there, it looks like not a good day for USC. They did get a commitment from the linebacker from Georgia, Garrison Madden, who, if you watch his tape,
fast,
definitely intriguing.
Yeah.
Now we'll see what he looks like, how long it'll be before he can contribute, because he's pretty small or on the smaller side. At 210 pounds at 6'2". So there's the frame to add a little bit more weight.
Yes.
You know, you can use him as an edge guy, different things. Intriguing pickup. But that was about it. You know, they signed the 5 guys that were currently committed, and they got him, but that was it. Now, behind the scenes, there are some guys that are going to be announcing on January 8th at the All-American game in San Antonio. Did USC get any of those commitments? So on the surface, it looks like it wasn't a good day for USC. The coaching staff may be thinking differently because they may have gotten NLIs to come in. And, you know, it's just not going to be announced. It's not going to be announced tomorrow. And tomorrow still is a big day. Maybe USC yesterday, Damani Jackson tells them, yeah, I'm in. And so behind the scenes, the coaching staff might be saying, hey, this is a good day, even though we missed out on a couple guys. On the surface, though, did not look like a great day for USC.
Yeah, USC does have a press conference on Friday instead of Wednesday. And I know you guys talked about this on the Family Feud plug. Right.
Yeah, good
that
job.
Potentially that could be good news for USC. Like, if they're going to pick up a couple commitments on a Friday, you'd rather have your press conference on a Friday afternoon instead of on Wednesday.
Well, speaking of Damani Jackson, we already have questions flooding in about the status of where he might go. I know we have the war room coming out, but what are your thoughts on where he might end up?
I think he might end up at USC. He might.
Might.
It's a two-team race or a two-school race, USC and Alabama. And again, very similar to Elias Ricks, hometown versus Nick Saban. It's basically the battle here. Now, Elias Ricks going to Alabama How does that affect Demonte Jackson? Yeah. You know, a guy, if you're looking for immediate playing time, and Elias Ricks goes, a guy that's already started, you know, 20-something games in college or however many it was for LSU and is a big-time player, you're going to be like, maybe that's not the spot for me.
Yeah.
If you want immediate playing time. Demonte Jackson is coming off an injury, so how does that affect him? Does he see himself as being ready to go at the beginning? A lot of factors that could go into it, but it is a two-team race. USC's back in the mix after him decommitting earlier. The Lincoln Riley hire, Roy Manning, Dante Williams still being on staff is really big because that's his guy. So I think there's a great shot for USC.
There,
but can he close?
Right. We'll see. I mean, this is going to be a big one. This is going to be a big one for Lincoln Riley. Like, getting Raylick Brown to flip over, that's great. This would be a good one. It's getting someone to come back.
Yeah.
And the potential behind the scenes issue is, you know, he was a Dante Williams guy. He was committed to him. And if you thought, okay, well, Dante Williams is running this team now. Well, he's not running the team. He's still on staff, which is good. But that could change the dynamic of things, too. If you thought, well, you were the head coach and now you're not. And what's going on here? Do I just want to leave the state? He had a great official visit to Alabama a couple weeks ago, I think it was. But a longtime USC commit, so that would be a big one. I mean, if you could get another five-star to flip, this is one that flipped away, and that's going to flip back.
The reflip.
You like the pancake thing, like the gifts going on Twitter, the pancakes flipping.
This isn't really a flip, though, because he decommitted. So
yeah.
Flip is when you're still committed somewhere, and
you flip them back, yeah. Jed Fish did that a lot for Arizona. They had a pretty good day.
Yeah.
So he was tweeting. He's good on the Twitters. He's good on the
Twitter
sphere.
How old are you?
On the Twitter sphere, like, he's doing a lot of the flips and stuff. It's pretty funny, but
nice. Circling back to something you said earlier, Shotgun, you talked about Devin Campbell. He actually limited his list to Texas and Oklahoma, but since there is time, were you suggesting that USC could get back in it?
Yeah, so that's the good news, is because he had basically eliminated USC, but with more time, there's family members that really like USC. You know, maybe they can say, hey, just come out for a visit. Come visit LA, check it out. And you
Who
try
doesn't want a free visit to LA? Come on.
And you sell it. And it's a little bit annoying when people like Marvin Jones Jr. Doesn't commit to USC. Well, he just wanted a free trip to LA. That's you when you're searching and behind on everything, that's what you have to sell. So
yeah.
So what if he getting a free trip to LA? Use those free trips to get five stars to come. And if you convince one out of five to change their mind, and it was worth those five free trips.
It was a beautiful weekend, too, last weekend with the official visits. Like, it's been crappy the last few days here in L.A. So if you had visitors now, it would be like, eh. But last weekend, it was really nice. So they had all those visitors in, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as offensive linemen still left on the board, Josh Connerly, the five-star tackle out of Washington, and then Dave Eluli out of Washington as well, four-star offensive guard, I believe. What are you guys feeling about them, those two?
I mean, Connerly is the guy that is kind of a must-get for me for USC. He's a guy West Coast guy from Washington, has been to USC several times this year, unofficial visits. So that means him and his family are flying down on their own dime to come see USC, and that's before you get Lincoln Riley. So now the thing is, and the positive about Devin Campbell and Iuli pushing theirs back is USC doesn't have an offensive line coach. So now you hire an offensive line coach.
Is that a problem when you're trying to recruit offensive linemen? Is that an issue? Is that a big deal?
Usually people like to know who their position coach is going to be.
Nothing's been complained about more about than the peristyle than the offensive line guys, right? Like, everyone wants to know what's going to happen with the offensive line. It doesn't matter. You get a five-star running back. You need offensive linemen. And it's true. But this is going to be a process. And it was trying to put it together. If they brought in Bill Biedenbaugh, it would have been, I think, a different story. Seemed like that was going to be the thing. He ended up staying. I think his wife is from Oklahoma and stuff. So that not getting the prize offensive line coach that you could get right away, I think that was a little bit of a setback. But I think it's going to be a temporary kind of setback. But if they can land a couple of these guys, I think that would be a really big deal for USC. But it would calm the fans down a little bit because they're really upset about the offensive line recruiting.
Well, they should be. I mean, the offensive line recruiting has not been good for 5 years. What was the class that had Austin Jackson, Elijah Vera Tucker, Andrew Voorhees, Brett Nealon?
That was a pretty good one.
Yeah, that was a great class. Jalen McKenzie. You had five offensive linemen in that class that have all been, you know, big time players for you. Two of them first round picks. You get Andrew Voorhees and Brett Nealon to come back. That is huge news for them because of how bad the recruiting has been since that year. You know, Justin Dedich and Jason Rodriguez, I believe, the only two top 247 guys in that group. I can't remember Jonah Monheim. He was kind of on the cusp.
He's right on the edge, I think.
But I think he was just outside of it. So, you know, two guys, and I believe that's – we'll see. Voorhees and Nealon will be six-year guys. So in 5 years, you've had two top 250, basically, recruits.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, when five of them are on the field at the time. Yeah, that's really bad. So USC's offensive line recruiting has not been good. So, yes, fans are going to be clamoring for it, and they should be. But it's positive that those guys are pushing it back, because you get that offensive line coach in, now you can sell him, and you can sell what they're going to do with it and go from there. So just the fact that they pushed it back, that gives USC even that a little bit better of a fighter's chance. Will they land him? Still to be determined. But I think that's positive news for them with the fact that they don't have an offensive line coach yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see a ton of roster churn. Like, there's going to be a lot of guys
there already
going to
has.
It's going to keep going. There's going to be guys declaring. I think Vivai Malapaya, I think he just tweeted out his goodbye. Now he's all, you know, his eligibility is all gone. We're updating the scholarship distribution chart, trying to figure out where everyone's going. But there's going to be, it's going to be a constant thing. And I think Lincoln Riley said it best when he did an interview. I forget what it was on the Pac-12 Network. I mean, every day signing day, because literally there's going to be things happening all the time with the transfer portal. It doesn't matter about 3 days in December or one day in February. This is going to be something that's constantly happening. And if you're recruiting and you get someone to sign, like, you've got to continue to recruit those players, because they could leave at any time. So it's a different world right now, but there's, especially when you get a coaching change, there's going to be significant churn in this roster. That's something to watch for. And there was a lot of bodies, 19 offensive linemen on scholarship last year. I mean, it's not going to be that many, I think, unless they bring in some of those transfers. But getting a couple big-time transfers, I think that would help. But having guys like Andrew Voorhees come back, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of roster turnover, I don't think we have had a show since this happened, but Keaton Slovis entered the transfer portal. What does that do for USC's quarterback depth and just the future going forward?
Keaton Slovis. Yeah, so we kind of expected that. I thought either was going to be he's going to declare for the NFL or go to the transfer portal. 24/7 Sports did a interview with Keaton Slovis. Mm-hmm. So we put that story up there on USCfootball.com. He didn't come out and say it, but it sounded like the draft grade that he got wasn't as good as what he had seen before. And obviously after that freshman season, everyone was talking about him being a first round draft pick and all of that. Injuries, everything that sort of happened. He just hadn't had a good couple of years, the COVID year and then this year, and he wasn't able to finish with that lower leg injury. So I think this kind of makes sense. I would watch to see where Graham Harrell goes, because him and Graham Harrell were very tight. There were some jobs that seemed like Graham Harrell was up for. Texas Tech didn't look like he's going there. So I think Colorado State, like, there were some head coaching jobs. We'll see if there's some potential offensive coordinator jobs. But if he lands someplace that they need a quarterback, I think that would be a great spot for Keaton Slovis to go. So you wish him well. I mean, great kid. You want to see him do well. But yes, big deal for him going to the transfer portal. There's some big time quarterbacks in there. And you're going to have to wait to see, you know, after the bowl game, maybe Caleb Williams from Oklahoma goes in there. And that would disrupt everything as well. So it's kind of crazy right now.
I mean, it just opens up the door for Jackson Dart, Miller Moss to compete under Riley and not be waiting another year. So it's good for them. The question, though, now is, can USC get a quarterback in? Because two scholarship quarterbacks is not
ideal. He's still got Bo Hassan, right? He's got a
– I mean –
He was a former walk-on.
But I think he's already at 6 years. So I think he has to get a medical exemption to get a seventh year.
I think he was pretty confident that he would get that. So he thinks he's going to be back by spring football practice.
Yeah. He was still doing some stuff. And if they get him back, that's great to have as an extra body, a guy that can, you know, if you have a couple injuries in one game, you need a guy to be in there that can make a couple throws. You don't have to make every throw. But and he looked really good in the spring game before he got injured. So, that would be really good for USC, but I believe he's at 6 years right now, so I believe he would have to get a seventh-year medical exemption. And the fact that everyone got that extra year, I don't know how the NCAA, how lenient they're going to be with medical exemptions for a seventh year. But good for him. The man probably has at least 2 degrees already, maybe working on a third one. I mean, that's my dream life right there. I always said that I
wanted to go to school forever.
Yeah, I wanted to go from undergrad to grad to get a doctorate to, you know, medical school to chiropractor school, whatever. As long as you keep going, you never have to pay the student loans back. So that was my goal in life. It didn't work, unfortunately, but I was trying for it. So I wish I was on the Mo Hassan plan.
Yeah. Nice. Now, okay, let's pause the transfer portal talk. Let's just assume Dart is going to be the starter next season. From what you saw in 2021, is he ready for the moment?
I mean, he seemed ready in the Washington State game. And then, you know.
Yeah, but USC was going to destroy Washington State regardless.
You're such a party pooper, man. So I'm saying, like, yes, obviously. But he was injured, and I don't think we got to see the full Jackson Dart later on the season. And I feel like if you're going to have a Lincoln Riley offense and the quarterback's going to be more mobile, we've seen that be very effective, obviously. And Jackson Dart, I think, has that capability. It seems to work. I think Miller Moss, too. I think he's someone that can, you know, that little spin move he did in the...
I missed that during the game, and I just finished doing the rewatch and charting.
How cool was that?
Speed watching it the Wednesday before.
Man was packing and charting at the same time. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
But yeah.
I was like, whoa, where'd that come from, Miller?
But I think that, if you're going to see, if Jack Dart's going to end up being the starter, that mobility, I think, is going to come into play. And it just seemed like it was limited later on in the season, yep. So... but I feel like that, you know, he could thrive in this offense, and that would be, USC fans would love that.
Mm-hmm. The big thing is quarterbacks anytime, or any player really, but quarterbacks in particular, that first to second year jump. So can he take a jump? Showed a lot of flash plays, but also some mistakes. You're like, that's a freshman mistake, including not getting down and getting the big pops that he got a couple times. So, you know, just things he's got to learn and take a step forward. And I don't think that Lincoln Riley has to have a mobile quarterback. I think that he evolves the offense based on the quarterback.
Sure.
And I think that he did a fantastic job with Kyler Murray and those guys that were able to do more with their legs. But Baker Mayfield was more of a scrambler than a runner.
He'd get out of trouble. You know, use his legs to get out of trouble.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Miller Moss can do not the same type of stuff, but in a similar vein where, you know, it's not design runs necessarily for him, but you saw how well the Baker Mayfield offense ran with Oklahoma. So, you know, I think it's going to be a competition, and I think that's, you know, that's fun for us always. But if they'll let us chart who the throws are this year.
We don't know what we're going to be able to do for a practice. So
if we get to
stay tuned
practice.
For that. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, you know, he'll mold the offense around whichever quarterback there. And I'm curious to see which of those guys takes the biggest jump. Because we saw Jackson Dart was much better in the spring. I thought Miller Moss had a better fall camp. So he took a jump because, you know, the time off. So who makes that jump to the second year? Sometimes you see a guy that, you know, as a freshman, he's behind. And suddenly he jumps over somebody. So I think it's going to be a fascinating competition. I know a lot of people are just assuming that Jackson Dart will be the starter, but I'm not ready to go there yet.
No, I mean, it's a clean slate, right? So you're coming with those two guys, you bring in a transfer, whatever it is, like, it's going to be a clean slate. Now, if it's Caleb Williams, then someone that you've already played for, Lincoln Riley,
That's when it's not a clean slate.
That's not a clean slate.
And that's when I would see probably Jackson Dart and Miller Moss both at the transfer portal if that happens.
And if you're Lincoln Riley and you're like, oh, just – start the guy that everyone thinks. But if you see something in Miller Moss that you like better, that works for your offense, then you look and he comes in and does well, you look like even more of a genius. You're like, oh, we picked the other guy, you know? So
sure.
Kind of like Keaton Slovis his freshman year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what Graham Harrell was like. He's a second string quarterback. I'm like, nope, he is. JT Daniel goes down, boom, put him in there. He has a great year. You're like, oh, like Graham Harrell's really smart. Then 2 years later, like, no, he's not, but whatever, you know.
Right, Abraham. Yes. I'm going to circle back to early signing period. Something that I want to talk about is Earl Barkett, the TCU transfer. Mm-hmm. He's 6'3", I believe 277. Shaka, is he an immediate impact guy given the defensive line depth for USC?
Potentially. I think he really fits well into the Alex Grinch scheme.
Yes.
You remember at Washington State, Hercules Mataafa was phenomenal, was a beast for them. And he's an undersized defensive tackle. Alex Grinch uses undersized guys, uses their speed and quickness to get penetration and get in the backfield rather than just being a big body guy and just taking up blockers. He wants them to go make plays. So I think Earl Barkett is a guy that can do that. You know, seeing some of his clips, didn't have a ton of stats this year, but just seeing some of the clips, you go, there's potential there. And I think he fits well. I think that's a really good pickup as far as a fit for scheme. Rather than just, you know, going off 4 or 5 star rating or whatever it may be. I think it's a good scheme pickup there for USC. And it was interesting. He announced that he had signed. He put a graphic up. USC didn't announce it, though. So it doesn't look like they're going to announce the transfers going forward. Or maybe, you know, maybe he was mistaken and it wasn't fully signed. Yeah, I don't know. But
yeah, the transfers don't do an NLI. They have like
they just sign a financial aid agreement.
Yeah. But he looks like, for the Alex Grinch system, if you guys remember, like Hercules Mataafa, like, just an undersized kind of I think he played more of like a one technique or whatever. But, you know, that someone like that could come in there and really just be quick off the line. I think that's what Alex Grinch likes to do. And you can really put a lot of pressure on opposing offenses. So it seems like he would fit that scheme. We'll see. I think he had like 20 tackles or something at TCU the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Given what we are expecting from USC secondary, who might leave, what is USC getting in Zion Branch and Fabian Ross?
Zion Branch, you're getting not only a terrific safety, a guy who has some room to add a little bit of weight to and does not mind coming down in the box and hitting people. But you also get a dynamic receiver because more than likely little brother is coming behind him in the 2023 class. And if that's the case,
he's even better, I think. Yeah.
Zachariah Branch is a five-star wide receiver right now. So that'd be a third five-star in that class for USC. So, he's a small shifty guy. So if you can combine him with Relique Brown, that would be a dynamic duo. But Zion coming in, it's a clean slate, but we've already seen Chase Williams hit the portal. We've got decisions still to come for Isaiah Polamalu, Greg Johnson. If they take off, then it's going to be a lot of young guys that are going to have to step right up. Now, you've seen Kalen Bullock make a lot of plays. You've seen Xavier Alford make a good number of plays at the end of the season. Chris Thompson played in that Cal game. Thought he was really good in that role. I don't know. He's a guy that needs to be in the box with his size and can do some different things. But I think the safety positions, if Polamalu or Greg Johnson don't come back, are going to be wide open. Even if they do, I think it's going to be wide open. They're going to prove themselves as the veterans. But so he's a guy that could be an immediate impact player. I'm always DBs. I think it takes a little bit of time just to learn what college offenses are trying to do different than what high school offenses are doing. So I'm a little hesitant to label immediate impact DBs or at least safeties. Cornerback, sometimes you can, if you're a man-to-man guy, you can play anytime, anywhere. But I think he's a guy that the physicality, the quick recognition, just watching his highlights and having seen him. And Blair and Gulo, I read some of the stories he's written about him. Blair covers the mountain region.
He does a really good job of that.
Amazing job. But he talked about how seeing him this year, how much he improved in a couple of seasons. Because the only time I've seen him in person was the Under Armour camp, which was like the last event before the pandemic started.
That was a while ago.
So that's how long it's been since I've seen him in person. So I think the way that Blair talked about how he's taken a big jump as far as he's always had the instincts and stuff, but the willingness to come down in the box and do some different things, a big pickup for USC. And that was a big one. Now, granted, we kind of thought that was going to be the case. It looked like that when it was down to USC and Oklahoma and you just took the Oklahoma coach. But that's huge for USC because, again, Bishop Gorman, his teammate Cyrus Moss is going to be signing tomorrow on Friday, but not going to be announcing until January 8th. Another one of those guys. Can he start convincing his teammate? And again, the little brother.
Yeah.
So, getting back in that Gorman.
You want that pipeline going.
Yeah, getting that back because USC has had a couple of Gorman players, but they haven't really made impacts. Pelley and Itiote probably been the most notable one. So kind of getting back in that group and, hoping to, as they continue to produce players, USC being at the top of the list.
As I mentioned.
Still weird with this hair thing going on.
I know.
I'm right next to him and it's just hard to believe.
Like, I already said this but Shaquan parked next to me, pulled up next to me, and I looked and then did a double take and then just stared and I was like, that's Shaquan, but that's not Shaquan. It was just so odd. I've seen the curly fro for so long. It's just so odd. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So like I mentioned, we're going to have maybe a little more low key press conference with Lincoln Riley on Friday. Our first real press conference was the introductory press conference where everyone and their mom shows up. It's a big fanfare. So it'll be more low key. What are you expecting for tomorrow?
I think we might. I mean, you hear about the commitments. I think he'll talk about those guys a little bit. If there's anyone new, those will be also mentioned, and maybe talk about some of the strategy of coming in and what what you're able to do and how important the transfer portal is going to be. Maybe you hear some announcements of a couple of transfers. I think if they do get all of the I's dotted and T's crossed for the background checks for all the assistant coaches, maybe that's an opportunity to introduce those guys or at least kind of tell you why these people were brought on or what they bring to the table, things like that. I think it will be a little bit more of the local media kind of feel. That other press conference was just – it was insanity, right? I mean, there were so many people there. You had Rick Caruso, you had the president. Like, this will be more about, our first regular, sort of USC beat press conference with Lincoln Riley. Now, maybe – whole bunch of other people show up that normally wouldn't show up because it's Lincoln Riley. I'm not sure, but I think it's going to be more of a kind of meet the local people and kind of talk about what's been going on.
And unfortunately for us, it won't be the same backdrop. We don't get the great backdrop of
that was
LA,
pretty good backdrop. Yeah.
Instead, we'll be
they nailed that one.
In Heritage or wherever the is normally at. So it's going to be interesting. Just kind of again getting to pick his brain a little bit more. And it's a little bit different kind of venue. It's not. Normally, it's not a ton of TV cameras, and so which lends to different questions being asked and whatnot. So I think it's a little bit more personal just with when it's a small room. I mean, we've done it with Clay Helton. We've done multiple ones in the little tiny classroom where you're trying to get these seats to move around the right direction.
I don't even know how the football players – I don't fit in those seats, and I don't know how the football players do. Like, those are weird ones.
Yeah, definitely weird ones. All right, gentlemen, let's jump into the schedule. Came out for the Pac-12 conference. USC, I think it's a pretty favorable schedule, all things considered. They're going to start out the home opener in the Coliseum against Rice. That's going to be Lincoln Riley's first game as a Trojan. Then they're going to make the trip up to Stanford and then take on Fresno State at home. Then go up to Oregon State, take ASU on at home, Wazoo at home as well. And then they're going to go at Utah, then have a bye week, and then have be back at Arizona, then face Cal November, and then have a Friday game at home against Colorado, and then be at UCLA, and then finish the season, the regular season, against Notre Dame at home. So it's pretty crazy. USC doesn't have to leave the state of California in the month of November.
Not too bad. I think the bye week is a good time, you know, a little bit on the second half of the season. One Friday game. It's a home game. That's going to be crappy for LA traffic, but, you know, whatever. I think overall it's fairly favorable. The first two road games conference games are road games. Stanford was pretty terrible this year. What do we call them? What did I say? They were butt. But Oregon State's good. Like, they're going to a bowl game for the first time in like 6 years or whatever. So that's not going to be an easy place to go. Week four. I think it's fairly favorable. We'll see. You know, with Fresno State, they got coaching turnover. Notre Dame's got coaching turnover. So it's set up pretty well, I think, for USC to make some kind of run. Now, it was set up pretty well this year to make some kind of run.
Real well this year.
And they went 4-8. Yeah. So, but obviously now you have a professional head coach that's been winning for a long time, and that's what USC fans are kind of banking on. So I think the schedule's okay. It looks fine. You got to get the roster right. Got to finish all the assistant coaching hires and stuff. Get the offseason program going. Sounds like the weight room has been going really well from what we've been hearing, and then kind of roll through. But it's not going to be like you get through and you build the roster and then you're like, oh, this daunting schedule. It's really not. And the fact that you get, you know, UCLA and Notre Dame, your very last two games, you can put a whole lot into those last two, the rivalry games and stuff. And if you're, you know, 9-1 or something at the time, man, you can really do something great. So we'll see. I mean, it's I think it's set up pretty well. It's not like a schedule. You know, George Kliavkoff, the commissioner, had said they're not going to try to, like, impede the big programs from, you know, like, oh, let's give USC like, you know, two Thursday games and a Friday game back to back road. Like, they're not going to do that kind of stuff anymore. And we didn't see it last year. No Friday games at all. One weekday game this year, and it's a home, so it's not too bad.
Apparently, in the comments rolling in, it's Veterans Day as well that Friday. So apparently people might have it off. We got two comments out that didn't fact check that.
Very
so we'll
cool.
See.
Yeah. Wow, that would be even like that's next level. That's George Kliavkoff playing chess like Friday. Because you say, like, trying to get to the Coliseum at 6 o'clock on a Friday, like, you have to leave at lunch. Like, there's no way you're going to get there.
Which is perfect. Start your weekend early. Half day. People got to work. Half
gonna
day
hurt
at
the
work.
Economy.
Chuck, and you have a unique job. You can't tell people what to do with their jobs.
That's not true. I've worked corporate jobs. Half day. Take
your
half day.
Well, it's Veterans Day, so you get the day off. So that's good. No. So
corporate,
smart.
Corporate
I like
doesn't
that.
Always mean that you get that holiday off.
Chuck, and any thoughts about the schedule?
I mean, the positive is that, you know, they don't have back-to-back road games at all. I think, like Ryan said, the bye week comes. I think it's interesting that UCLA and Notre Dame are finally back-to-back again. Is that normally the tradition? That used to be the tradition? I know
be,
it's like, the first time in like 3 or 4 years that it's happened. So people pointed it out. I didn't notice that. It wasn't something that I noticed. I'm also terrible with years and separating which is which type of thing in my head. So, but I think that's interesting, you know, having the rivalries, you know, basically around the Thanksgiving holiday. So it's always fun. I mean, that's what's so great about Thanksgiving football to me is the tradition of the Lions and Cowboys playing, but also just the rivalries that go on, you know, the Egg Bowl being on Thanksgiving and, you know, just the hatred that comes with some of those rivalries.
Lots of hatred. Yeah. No, it's good. I mean, like if you do like, I'm from the East Coast. If you're like, oh, you'd have like your high school class reunion, they would always have it like Thanksgiving. Like, nope, Notre Dame game. Sorry, can't come. So
nothing says thankful like hatred and rivalry.
Yes.
Alrighty, let's jump into some questions. First one is from Alex, who said, Shotgun, you look awesome. Can someone explain the transfer portal timeline in detail?
The timeline?
So the timeline, looking at it, is – players can go in whenever they want to. And this is something that really irks a lot of coaches, because there's been times when, you know, a player goes in the transfer portal and he's taking an official visit 2 weeks later to a team they just played.
Yes.
Or a team that's upcoming. And you go, wait, is it Bill Belichick, you know, bringing in a free agent just to, you know, be able to pick his brain about the next opponent, basically? Like, that really irks the coaches. And maybe that shouldn't be the case. Maybe they should have to wait till after the season and then kind of go, like, there should be a dead period of, you know, traveling and that time. Maybe that should be the case. But the timeline is players can go in whenever they want to. They can sign whenever they want to. And a lot of times you see, actually, that players don't stay in the portal for long. Guys that are highly coveted, they go in the portal, and within a week, they have a decision. Yeah.
Sometimes they make some calls ahead of time before they go into the portal.
Yeah, well, some of that is, you know, it's not them making the calls. Their coach calls. Like, coach, I don't know if this is the right place for me. I wonder if Nebraska has a spot, or I wonder if Oklahoma State, you know, I really like that visit during, and the coach calls up the Oklahoma State coach and says, I got a player who's looking, you know, he might be interested in coming, you know, would you guys have room for, what's your depth chart look like? And it goes back. So it's not a direct, because if you had direct contact, then it's tampering,
right?
And it would be recruiting violations. But with the middleman, you know, that all gets done. So players go into the portal. They can sign immediately if they want to, you know, as the school offers them and they want to sign the financial aid agreement. So that's kind of the chaos of it. And that's why it's like Lincoln Riley said, it's a constant thing, you know, because, like I said, USC brought in a veteran offensive tackle from Virginia during their official visit weekend. Today, another offensive tackle, multi-year starter from Virginia, went into it. So, you know, maybe USC likes this guy better, but the other guys have already brought him in for the visit. And so you're trying to figure out, you're trying to keep space for the coaches, you know, for, you know, if an impact guy comes up, or, you know, God forbid you know, Brandon Peely goes down with an Achilles injury in spring camp. You're looking out there and you're like, okay, can we find a big run stuffer in the middle, and someone goes in the portal? Do you have space for him now?
Yeah.
And that becomes a big thing. So that's one of the things this year is teams are always allowed 25 initial counters. So the first year, you're allowed 25 guys to come in each signing class each year of the recruiting cycle. This year, if you have up to seven guys leave, seven or more, then you can bring in seven. So it's a one-for-one up to seven guys. So you can bring in 32 potential initial counters. That can be 32 transfers if you really want. Texas State had a class that was all transfers last year.
Not a single high school player. Crazy.
Because you're trying to – this happens when you're trying to overturn – a new coach comes in trying to overturn the roster. I don't have time to build guys up. I need guys that are already veterans that have, you know, played in college or already bigger or whatever it may be. So that the transfer portal, that is all the craziness of it. Sign up to 32. So that's how you can overturn a roster pretty quickly. And I think Mel Tucker did a really good job of it at Michigan State, getting a guy like Kenneth Walker. But there's also the threat of overturning your locker room so much that you don't have a culture if you have already established a culture. And I think that happened a little bit at Utah with him putting
Charlie
Brewer.
Early in the season, yeah. But then they got it working, obviously. You know.
But what happens if they figure that out before, two games earlier?
Yeah.
They beat San Diego State, and they don't lose in, what was it, triple overtime to them? I think they lost to BYU,
lost to BYU also, yeah.
You win those two games, and suddenly they're in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
And they probably would have if Cam Rising was starting. But, you know, it takes a little bit of time to get – because they brought in 7, 8, 9 impact transfers. It takes a little bit of time for everyone to get into your culture, into your scheme, into your, you know, understanding and fighting for the guy beside you.
But it does help if you have Utah, where you have an established culture, where, like, Kyle Whittingham's been there a long time, one of the longest tenured coaches in the country. He has that culture, and even it was still a problem there. So just bring in a whole bunch of free agents and it's going to work. It doesn't work that way, but it helps if you do have an established culture like they do. And even if you start off a little rocky, you can get it going and make the kind of run that Utah did.
Something to know, too, about the transfer portal is that it also has to align with enrolling with school semesters or quarters.
Good point.
So that's something that it's not just a free-for-all where you can just come in once you're in the portal. So that's why there's kind of a wave of guys coming in. It's either usually over the break, the winter break, or in summer, because that's kind of when you need to enroll in that sense. So
for USC, it was on the semester rather than quarters.
Yeah.
Great point by Keeley. And it's just similar to any transfer – you know, your normal non-student athlete transfer that comes in from LMU or UC Irvine or wherever that comes into USC, they don't get to just start in the middle of the semester right. and just like, oh, I want this class, this class. No, you wait till the end of the semester and then you come in, same thing.
Yeah, that's the student athlete part of that. That whole configuration.
There's like school.
Great point,
school,
though.
It's not just football, just on school. The time too. Okay,
yeah. Wilson on Facebook said, why has Dante Williams been so quiet since he has returned?
I mean, it's weird if you go from the voice of the program, the face of the program, to, you know, calling all the shots, running everything, you know, being in the running, you know, to be the next head coach at USC, because you were for 10 games. And now you're kind of, you know, might not have been retained, end up being retained. I don't think that's something you're going to be out there like kind of crowing about. It's sort of going to be like a behind the scenes, like, hey, you know, it's like you, it's not a demotion, but it's kind of a demotion, you know? And so I don't think that's something he's going to be jumping out and talking about a whole bunch.
Have you heard from any of the other assistant coaches?
Yeah.
Unless they're like going somewhere. No.
But you haven't heard from them.
Yeah, true.
That same thing.
Yeah.
And if he says something, he'd have to address where he is staff-wise. And like Shotgun's alluding to, we don't know any of the staff right now.
Right.
So.
Which we might get some of that those details tomorrow. Like why Dante Williams retained, if anyone else would potentially be, because we don't know every assistant what they're doing. You know, some assistants have announced where they're going. Some haven't.
Terry Colbert going to Florida. Congratulations to him.
Yeah,
former USC wide receiver.
That's a big one.
Wide receiver coach now.
Joshua on YouTube said, do you foresee any beef between the Texas transfers and Oklahoma staff?
I thought this was an interesting question.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because I kind of thought about it, and you know, not necessarily that there's beef, but there is knowledge of them. You know, obviously, they've recruited Texas, so they've recruited some of these players. Maybe some of these guys were coveted by Oklahoma, and they couldn't get them. And they stayed, you know, decided to stay at Texas, and then didn't work out there. Or maybe they're like, yeah, that guy's not very good. Or they played him and said, oh, we should exploit that guy or whatever. So, unfortunately, for some of those guys that are transfers, you look at it and you go, if there is an issue with the coaching staff, if you transfer a second time, now you're sitting out a year. You know, everyone's allowed to waive a free one-time transfer, but if you transfer a second time, you have to sit out.
Yeah.
So, you know, that could be an issue for some of those guys. I think the fact there's so many Texas guys on the team from Texas, not the University of Texas, I think it gives the staff a little bit of a leg up because they probably either recruited or schemed against those guys.
Very familiar with
so,
them.
So, you know, they should be at least a little bit more familiar, even though, you know, Lincoln Riley is coming over and, you know, has no Pac-12 ties. He has recruited in Southern California, so he knows some of the players that you on USC's roster from SoCal, but also you should know some of those guys. So I think it gives a little bit of a boost to, you know, just a one less step that will have to be taken, you know, to know the roster and know what you have.
A Galactic Makerspace on YouTube wanted to know, what are USC's chances with Cyrus Moss?
They're in the mix.
Yeah.
He tweeted something today about, you know, him in USC gear from his visit the last couple weeks. So, and asked fans what they thought he looked like. How'd it look? So, you know, you can go on Instagram and respond to him if you want. Don't tweet at recruits.
Yes, don't.
But
do
if
that.
They
don't
ask a question,
them. Don't do it.
But if they ask you a question, you can answer it.
Yeah, don't tweet at them.
DFI said, do you think USC should have listened to Reggie Bush and got Deion Sanders as head coach? We could have got the number one player in the country. Talk about a crazy development. Yesterday.
That was crazy. I don't know if it's going to be game-changing as far as, like, you know, we'll see. But I mean, that's a big move. I mean, it's more of like a Florida State thing. Like, there was a whole big Twitter space about fire Mike Norvell after that happened. You might see some of that happening, and it's, you know, it's really interesting develop it. But no, I think you're much better off with Lincoln Riley than Deion Sanders as your head coach.
Yeah. Deion is a terrific recruiter, so personable. But he hasn't yet proven that he's a great coach. I think he's shown he's at least a good coach because, you know, they won their conference. But part of that is he's getting superior athletes, and that's a big thing in college football. Look at Urban Meyer.
I was going to say, Urban Meyer, yeah.
When you don't have superior athletes, how good are you as a coach then? And that's obviously a different thing. But he's not only doing it with getting Travis Hunter and doing really well with recruiting just the high school players, transfer portal. Abdul Malik McClain. If you remember him from USC, played for Jackson State this year. They also went in the portal and they got multiple guys. There was a couple guys. I think there are a couple SEC guys. They're like their final year. They want to decide to go to an HBCU and play for Deion Sanders. And, you know, if you're a cornerback, I don't know what other coach you'd want to play for.
Yeah, I mean, he's prime time. Just because he's in those Aflac commercials doesn't mean he's like Nick Saban already. So you got to give him some time.
Shouts to James who pointed this out on Facebook. Blair Angulo actually 30 minutes ago put in a crystal ball for Cyrus Moss to USC. Oh. The confidence level is low, but it's Blair, so all right. Who knows? So Blair. Just so you know, just a little
Blair
FYI.
Knows his stuff.
I mean, that's notable. That is definitely notable because yeah. Blair is linked in with all those Vegas, Utah, Colorado kids more than anyone else. So.
Yep. Shouts to Blair. Adjuster Smith wanted to know, will Colin Mobley be ready to play next season in a significant amount?
Interesting question. I don't know. You know, saw some flashes from him early. Didn't get much playing time as the season developed. And with a new scheme, you know, anyone can kind of take a big jump forward. You know, the scheme may fit someone better than someone else, but also how quickly do you grasp the scheme? I think that there's no big advantage to experience as far as grasping schemes besides what you've seen differently in college than what you see in high school. So maybe he's a guy that takes a big jump forward.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what body types they're going to be looking for, but he would kind of fit in that same mold as Barquette does. He's not as twitchy there. But and he's a pretty big kid, but he moves pretty well for his size. So he's not the 330-pound, you know, stump in the middle of your defense. But he's a guy that can move a little bit and can create some lanes into the backfield. So he could be a guy to take a jump forward. But he's one that we'll be keeping an eye on just because a guy that looks the part and didn't get a ton of playing time. So is he ready to take that step forward?
Mm-hmm. We've already discussed this a little bit, but I just want to go back to it. Daniel said, I guess I expected a better first signing day, and especially with Oregon's head coach leaving and Lincoln Riley coming in. If more are arriving before February, how many do you think USC will have in this class? It just seemed like expectations maybe were a little too high, considering the time that Lincoln Riley and his half put together staff had.
I mean, you've been working on this class for a couple years, and you had 2 weeks. You know, there was not a, like, there was, I think it's what he was able to do in those last couple of weeks. Now, it's not over. So the problem is it's going to be – you have to look at it as a whole. Like, look at it in February. Like, oh, okay, picked up these guys at the All-Star games, maybe a guy or two tomorrow, you know, and then and some guys that have waited for the February signing period. And that's where I think some of those, you know, potential Oregon players are moving around. But it's a crazy time when you're switching coaches and then these players half the time don't know what's going on. They're trying to figure out, wait, where's this guy going? Who's there? And it's difficult. So I don't think you could expect Lincoln Riley to come in and sign 25 players and average like 4.2 stars in 2 weeks. It's just not going to happen. But if you look at the whole class coming up with February and all of that over the next couple of months, I think it'll be much better than what it is right now.
And even looking at the total class, because you can still pick up three or four transfers.
Yeah, the transfer thing's a big part.
24/7 Sports has now made it so that those are aligned. So the class rankings will include transfers. Now, there will be separate high school rankings and transfer rankings, but there is a class ranking that includes both. So I think the totality of the class won't really be known until August.
Yeah. I mean, the roster is going to look different. Like, you might see players that were on the roster now that you expect it to be, and they're not in August, and then a whole bunch of new guys that, you know, it could hit the transfer portal pretty hard. So I think it's a good point. You might have to wait till August, but wait until February to see as far as like a traditional recruiting class. It will be better than what you're seeing right now.
True. Mm-hmm. They'll finish with a couple more, and, you know, there will be a couple – there could be some surprising. Parker Lewis was really surprising to me to see him going in. You know, one of the Pac-12's best kickers this year. Missed a couple games, but he goes into the transfer portal. And this is something to remember, and I know a lot of people asked, why would he enter? It's not always about what happens on the field.
Yeah.
You know, you're homesick, or family member has an issue, or you need to be home to help out, or you just don't like the culture, you don't like the beach, you know, you prefer the mountains, whatever it may be. So, you know, sometimes people would look at it and they go, why would he do this? He's going to be this and this lineup. Why would Jay Toya leave USC when he's, you know, potentially going to get first team snaps going into fall? It's not always about just the playing time on the field. Yeah.
Apparently, according to chat, hopefully they're not lying to me, Jenna Nuoso just made a spectacular play on Thursday Night Football. I think he picked off Mahomes.
Oh,
so look for that.
I can't believe we don't have it on. We got
usually we do in the one time.
I know.
Yeah.
That's my guy right there, Chenna.
I know.
He's
great. He was
cool
super
dude.
Nice.
Yeah.
Casey said, who will enroll early in January for spring practice?
I believe Relique Brown is enrolling early. I can't remember all the names. That would be a Chris Trevino or a Gerard question.
Yeah. We'll know for sure tomorrow. They list it out.
Yeah. They will list it, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll know for sure. We have multiple questions wondering why Lincoln Riley hasn't been able to get offensive line coach yet, and should USC fans be concerned about that, or is that just part of the process right now?
I think it's part of the process. So you did have, he had his sights on somebody that was going to be really good, someone that had worked for him already, that was a co-offensive coordinator. And it seemed like, from the sources I've talked to, that it was understood that Bill Beanbaugh was going to come with Lincoln Riley to USC from Oklahoma. Things changed. They end up making Brett Venables hire. And so they make a good hire. Oklahoma makes a really good hire. You know they're going to get a good coach. He can make a pitch for someone like that to stay. And he ends up staying. So I think that sort of was like, you had a plan A. There was a whole bunch of things you had to do at once. And if you have something like, okay, this is my plan for offensive line coach, but I have like 5 million other plans for other things, you probably don't have a whole bunch of backup plans going on. So, they needed to go to a backup plan, but it wasn't going to be like, okay, we're going to fill that right now. It's going to be, okay, we'll take care of this. We'll get somebody good, but we have all these other things that we have to deal with right now. So there wasn't enough hours in the day, I think, for that situation. So they didn't have like three plans for what they would do for the offensive line coach. They had a good plan for one that ended up falling through like last minute. So then I think that's why you are where you are right now.
I think it's a little bit of that, the priority of that when they thought they had it lined up, and then if it falls apart, all right, where is that on your priority list? Is it immediate? I think with the fact, and I don't know if USC was part of the reason why some of the offensive linemen pushed their decision back, but it's going to help USC out for that. So maybe the coaching staff, when they talked to some of these players, said, hey, we want to get you on. We want to wait till the new hire is in. And so I don't think it really hurt USC necessarily, except with Andre Roy. You would like to have had a better shot at him with the fact that he signed yesterday. So, but the other three that they're in the mix for, Ernest Green, I don't believe signed either. Now USC doesn't seem to be high on his list, but again, more time and the opportunity to get a higher end, the better chances you have.
We're almost at the top of the hour, so I'm going to put us into rapid fire mode. The Boss Man is doing a show 6, so thank you, Boss Man, for powering through.
A little
through.
Under the weather, but that's okay.
Under the weather.
Yeah, because you felt fine. You're like, let me go play golf in terrible weather.
I played
weather.
Golf in the rain. It was bad, yeah.
Ryan, sometimes I wonder if you're what the age you are, if you're still a teenager.
Pretty much am.
Yeah.
I eat like a teenager and I act like a teenager.
Yeah, with the most respect. George wanted to know, have you heard about USC football season tickets being sold more since Lincoln Riley's hiring? The amount.
I haven't heard the number or anything, but the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And more. We could just tell you that we've had people tell us, I renewed my tickets after 3 years of not having tickets type of thing. So
we've seen an absolute surge. I think it started in September when Clay Helton was fired. But that sort of like backed off a little bit because the team started to struggle and it just wasn't looking that good. But bringing in Lincoln Riley, everything has just turned up. And, we've seen it on our shows, the numbers of the people listening to the podcast, that read the articles, subscribers. Thank you all for subscribing to the site. You can still go on there now and do it. And I think, the people we've talked to in the athletic department, they're extremely happy with what's going on. And there's just so much enthusiasm where it hasn't been for years. It's just been sort of like, you didn't feel like this was a place that was going to be as special as it can be. And I think you had to have faith that they were going to get somebody good. They're going to hire someone good. They're going to try to bring this program back to prominence. I think the fans were ready for it. I think people are going to come back. And there's been a lot of talk on the message boards about season tickets. We haven't got numbers or anything yet, but there's so much more interest now than there was before. It's crazy.
Andrew wanted to know, will Alex Grinch run his 3-4 at USC, or is it going to be more of a 4-2-5 hybrid?
I think that's to be determined by what the roster has
and
what they can get in. What is their ideal? I haven't had a chance to talk with him about that and see what his ideal defense is, what his ideal edge players look like, how he likes to use. Those are all questions I like to, when I talk to coaches, just kind of picking their brains and seeing, what are their philosophies and how they go about it. We haven't had a chance to do that with him. And, really good coaches are still flexible and say, this guy doesn't fit in that mold, but let's try this differently to use him and try to get the best out of him. That's your best coaches out there that can mold stuff around their players rather than trying to fit, you know, certain players into roles that don't really fit them.
Archer wanted to know, is T-Mac seriously considering Arizona?
Yes.
Arizona's done a really good job. Jed Fish has got some – they're 1-11, and the only game they won was a COVID game from Cal. But there's excitement in that program, and they were competitive. They were more competitive than Stanford in a lot of those games.
More competitive than USC in those Coliseum games.
No, very true. They scored the most points. The most points they scored all season was against USC in the Coliseum. But there is some momentum building there at Arizona. So that's a, you know, it's a possibility for anybody. We'll see. I mean, I'm going to talk to Brandon Huffman tomorrow a little bit about the whole Pac-12. I'll try to get some thoughts on that for you guys later. But yeah, they've been really impressive so far. So I wouldn't rule them out.
Plus the guys that went there from Servite already that have already signed. Noah Fafita, Kean Burnett. Those are guys that he grew up playing with.
So that
is part of the attraction there. Burnett is a legacy at Arizona, so he can tell them, hey, this is what my dad's do all this. But it's just continuing to play with your buddies. And with the other choice was Oregon. That was, you know, where he was where he is committed, I believe.
I think he's still committed.
I don't think he's officially decommitted. But obviously, Cristobal leaves. Brian McClendon, the wide receivers coach, who I believe was going to be the interim coach for the bowl game. I don't know if he is still going to do that, but he is leaving to go to Miami as well. Yeah. So now the head coach leaves, and you know, maybe you have a really good relationship with your position coach and you still want to stay, he's gone. So that's a big reason why he may be considering Arizona. He looks at his options and say, do I want to go to Oregon? A lot of unknowns. I can go with my buddies. I know a lot of USC fans are like, why is he not considering USC? Not everyone wants to go to, you know, stay home and go to USC.
We got a question from Ryan who said, what's the word on the street from transfers about USC? Do they want to come? Is Riley sparking interest?
There's definitely interest.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Marvin Jones Jr. doesn't come out unless there's at least some interest.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Haskins, the offensive lineman that we talked about from Virginia, and a couple of those other guys. There's some interest. Now, the question is finding the right guys. I know there's a lot of big-name targets out there, but one of the biggest thing about the transfer portal is finding the right guys that are going to fit, because you go into the transfer portal for a reason.
Right.
Now, sometimes it's just, hey, the coach left, and I don't think the new coach coming in is going to, you know, use me the way I want to be used. But sometimes it's there's drama off the field. Sometimes it's academics. There's a lot of different reasons why guys can go into the transfer portal.
Sure, yeah.
Exactly. So you got to figure out what that is if you want to be if you want to have a group that plays together.
Alex wanted to know where you see Max Gibbs fitting. Which side of the ball do you see Max Gibbs fitting in next season?
Huh. Yeah, that's
interesting. Is he's expressed interest of still being on the offensive line, even though he has found success on defense.
I mean, he's expressed interest in playing both ways. But I think his future's on the offensive line, especially with Grinch coming in and the nose tackles he's used at times,
right,
being those smaller, quicker guys.
Not the big guy like that. Yeah.
But he's got a quick first step. I think part of it is going to be where his body's at. If he can continue to lose weight, if he gets down to 340 versus 360, 370, 380, that's a much different player that you're using there. Rather than being a tank in the middle, whether being able to use that quickness a little bit more. So body questions will be there, but I think offensive line is where he ultimately ends up.
Yeah.
Leonard wanted to know, what's happening with Drake Jackson?
Right now, it's probably just hanging out, chilling. You want me to text him real quick to see what he's doing?
His future shotgun.
Oh, he's going to go to the NFL.
I would think so, yeah.
That's been he said it from the very beginning. Nothing has lent. There's not been like, wow, I don't know. Maybe I made it. He's going to the NFL.
Yeah.
Warzone Clips wanted to know, where does Corey Foreman fit into Alex Grinch's defense?
He's going to be on the edge.
Yeah. You can rush the passer. I think he'll be rush the passer. You should be okay.
One of those things.
Yeah.
Rup
the pass clearly. Yeah.
And obviously, I heard him in an interview talk about the things he learned this year. And we talked to William after the last game talking about, you know, your best ability is your availability. And I think he understands that a little bit more now. And, you know, getting used to the routines of college with all the classwork and all that, I think that took him a little bit of time.
Yes.
Especially having not played in a year and a half, basically. So I think that took some time. But when he was on the field, you could see the elite ability to get to the quarterback. Even if he only had four or five snaps in a game, one of them he was getting a pressure on.
Yeah.
So I mean, that was the case in the last game. For some reason, he only played four snaps all in one series. He and Julian Falonico played together on one series, and they got two sacks on the series. Foreman had one of them, and they didn't play again. Again, this is just me finally charting the game. You're but like, I was like,
what?
Wait, what? I didn't remember seeing them in there. I got some photos of a sack, but I was like, wait, that was it? That's interesting.
Crazy.
We had a question from Daniel who said, I heard some players say that there was a culture clash, especially between Texas players and California players. Do you think Riley and staff will get that under control?
I think it'll get figured out. And yeah. One, there's going to be a lot of roster turnover. But I heard that the a player I talked to said that things were getting – had been sewn up a little bit towards the end of the year. That was a much a bigger issue early in the season. But they were a lot of pulling towards the same direction towards the end of the year.
Yeah,
as far as that dynamic.
I don't think if you're in a clique or whatever, I think Riley comes in and it's going to be like, this is the way. Like, it's not like, oh, this is the California way or the Texas way or whatever it is. It's like, you're all in this way. I don't care where you're from. Whatever, you could be from Mars. You're going to be following my orders. You're doing what we want to do. So it's all about installing his culture there, and that's going to be the big difference.
The Mandalorian way?
This is the way.
Bless you.
Sorry about that.
I thought you screamed my name instead of excuse you. Andrew said, well, this year's transfers who didn't play much like Ishmael Sopcher and Jake Smith stay with USC.
Well, they got to get healthy before they can do anything.
Yeah.
And then play for anybody.
And you can't just transfer again with no penalty. So I think you got to be available. They got to both get healthy and then see what they can do.
And I heard a source was eyeing Jake Smith. I've heard from a source that Lincoln Riley was eyeing Jake Smith as a potential weapon. That was a weird sentence.
Is this a female source? I was eyeing Jake Smith.
And no, the coaching staff was eyeing.
Okay.
We had a question from Mark who said, someone think of the most open-ended question ever. If Shotgun never finishes answering the question, he can't leave. I agree. I think that's a great.
It's not that hard, you know. Like he could just.
Shotgun.
I'm not Gerard. Come on, guys.
That's true.
You're close though. You're
people
like
one. People are like, holy cow, Gerard, last week. You know.
I know the Gerard experience. You ask him one question on the phone, and 2 hours later, you're hanging up. It's pretty
like,
crazy.
You ask an offensive question, and then like you know, 20 minutes later, he's talking about one on the defensive side. Like, no, we didn't ask you about that yet. Like, it's like, hold on.
Yeah. We had a lot of questions. Shotgun, is that your real hair?
What else would it be?
I mean, what
people
would
were just people were stunned that you.
I'm right here next to something. It looks very real.
Yes, it is his real hair. Shotgun, in honor of your last show, any final questions you want to ask before we wrap this up? The Boss Man wants a short show.
I haven't even been able to get through all the questions. Thanks, you guys, so much for submitting so many questions. I've been trying to throw them in our document so Keely can get through them, but I don't have anything in particular that has really stood out. There was one actually. Andrew Hawks, the one of the last ones, was, do you think the Urban Meyer experience will keep guys like Lincoln Riley from taking or getting NFL jobs? And maybe in a similar vein, Matt Rhule not having as much success this year with Carolina either.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing, like Shock had mentioned this earlier, and I was talking to college football reporter that covers all these things. Urban Meyer had the best players around. Like you had better players than everyone. So every time you play a game, you had better players, like just about every time. I mean, maybe you play Alabama in the championship or something, and that doesn't happen in the NFL. So you have to find someone that's – I mean, there's got to be things that work. Pete Carroll worked. He was in the NFL before. He understood how it worked, but he had like that kind of rah-rah thing that worked in college too. So maybe it's someone where, you know, Jimmy Johnson was – you know, he's been on both sides, and he was always interested in the NFL. I read somewhere – there's one story on Urban Meyer that, like, he didn't even watch – like NFL games, something like that, where like he wasn't even a fan of the NFL. So how do you like go through? I think it might have been Bruce Feldman talking on the Audible, but like talking about like, yeah, I mean, he wasn't like a big NFL guy. And then you go to the NFL, like you don't really quite understand it, where like Jimmy Johnson was, you know, and Pete Carroll was. So I think you have to find the right college coach to make that work.
I mean, it's a different style, different personality. Cliff Kingsbury crushing it with the Cardinals. Wasn't a guy that apparently, I don't know this much about Cliff Kingsbury, but didn't like to recruit as much. He's an X and O's guy.
Yeah.
You know what you do in the NFL? Yeah, X and O's. It's all about the coaching staff and X and O's. It's much more about the X's and O's and schematically and being able to execute the X's and O's than in college, where if your guys are just better,
yeah.
They could, as we've seen with USC the last decade, sometimes you can just win on talent alone, whether your scheme is great or not. And I think in the NFL, you can't do that. You get exposed real quick.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why it's constantly changing. Some team looks really good early in the season, And then one team figures them out. And then everyone else says, we're going to do the same thing. We'll do the same thing. And suddenly they lose four games in a row. Whereas in college, you make a couple adjustments and, hey, your running back breaks four tackles. That doesn't happen very often right. in the NFL. There's not very many beast mode runs
no.
like Marshawn Lynch had.
Andrew wanted to know specifically from you, Shotgun, what's the meaning of life and football? We'll take some time to really get this answer right. No, I'm just kidding.
I do not have an answer for that.
Okay.
Thanks, Andrew.
The meaning of life is be kind to people.
Ryan, favorite memories of Shoddy Sprat off the top of your head?
Oh, yeah. So you guys, I heard you guys on the Family Feud.
Yeah.
Plug.
Hey, remember, see, I didn't prepare. I should have prepared
Ryan,
for that.
Ryan, while you're thinking, Shotgun, can you explain to the people who came late or not follow us on every platform, where are you going? What are you doing? Your life story?
I'm moving to the East Coast to be closer to some family. The plan is, I know some people have asked this, the plan is to still continue covering USC sports for Ryan, at least as of now, going forward. And, you know, I'm hoping we're still trying to figure out everything. We're talking with 24/7 about some different things as well, but I'm hoping to try to come out to LA or to events maybe one weekend a month or something this during the off season. So that USC-UCLA basketball game, you can probably expect to see me there. Plan to be in Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament. We still got to figure out some of the logistics and different things of how everything's going to work. But I'm also going to try to get some podcast equipment, try to bring the Herd In on the Sidelines podcast, have a little bit more time, hopefully get some unique guests on there.
Nice.
To try to do some different content. If I'm not able to see every practice and, you know, be around, maybe I can do some a little bit different things. But the goal is to still be covering USC going forward for now. We'll see how that, you know, how it evolves and how life changes. But that's the plan for the next 3 or 4 weeks at least. we'll go a month in advance.
Goodness.
That's a long time for me. Keely can attest to this.
Yeah, that's a long
time. I usually plan stuff out like 2 days in advance at most.
Yeah. No, we met some people at the basketball game yesterday and they were talking to me like, oh, I can't believe Shotgun's leaving. And like, I'm so in denial. Like, you're coming back. Something's not, it's not right. It's not true.
There's been so much going on. Chris asked me if I was getting a Christmas present for someone. And I was like, wait, when's Christmas? Oh yeah, that's coming up, right? I thought for some reason in my head it's been like December 3rd for like 2 weeks in a row.
It is not.
And I'm like, oh, there's no way I can order anything online and it get there on time. So
yeah.
Ryan, are you prepared?
I mean, I think like we went to Georgia for like a gathering. I think it was him and his roommate had a party or something.
That was fun. Yeah,
that was pretty fun. Meeting the little Zed Master, like he, you know, that was a pretty special moment. That didn't really involve Shotgun. That was more his roommate, but it was cool. But even just like first meeting, like I met Shotgun, but I think we were at some 7-on-7 event or something, and he was working for somebody else, and I was just like, yeah, just come work for me. Like, and I was just like,
that's the Ryan way.
Pretty much how it is. Yeah. I actually got Ryan offered me a job the same time I had received two other job offers in a 2-day span.
Oh, yeah. You were like,
and
it was all coming up Millhouse that day.
Yeah. And I took them all.
Wow. Look at that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
We had a question from Michael who said, would you rather be a TV or a radio? Thought it was interesting. Wanted to ask.
Be a TV? Like a physical TV
or
a physical radio?
My first take is radio because you're timeless. You're classic.
I'm going
to
be a TV.
Do you want to be touched? Because the radio, they probably have to like turn your dials.
Well, now
like,
that you said that.
The TV, you have, like, if it's like a remote. Like, I don't know.
The TV, because everybody's going to be watching me.
True.
That's true. I do like to be the center of attention. Yeah.
Yeah, that
but
is
they used
true.
To like, you know, in the 50s, they would like sit around the radio and listen to like Little Orphan Annie and stuff. Like, that's good.
Oh.
That's a memory that's kind of... that I'm nostalgic about, you know, hearing people sitting around a radio and watching or listening to a game or a boxing match or something, like having 30 people surrounding it. And you get a similar event with, you know, TVs and stuff. But
sure.
Just that camaraderie, which is great that we're starting to go forward from COVID. And unfortunately, Omicron or whatever it is causing issues. And make sure you guys are staying safe out there.
Yeah.
Because obviously you look over at UCLA, they've had to cancel a women's basketball game now after canceling a men's basketball game. So,
crazy.
You know, that's something to keep an eye on. So try to stay safe during this winter time when, you know, everyone's getting sniffles over here and whatnot.
Ugh. Yeah.
I got my booster. I'm good. But just like, man, I shouldn't have gone out in the rain today.
Yeah, that would be smart. Sorry, we had a question. Who are you going to miss more, me or Ryan?
Do I have to miss either one of you?
Yeah.
Keeley's my right hand man over here.
Hey, so look at that.
We've been through thick and thin over and covering USC.
We've been in the trenches.
So, yeah, it's
a little sister.
It's a little bit bittersweet leaving, knowing that the things. Still going to be covering USC, so it's not as like, it's not, there's no tears coming here or whatever, but it's
just not sitting in this chair for a while.
Yeah.
But
it'll be like COVID. It's just pretend.
True. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's been really fun covering USC, even though the teams haven't been that great. It's been really fun for me. I've been covering USC basketball basically since I got to USC. And to see a team that is a top 10 team right now, it has been fun. So that's part of the reason why I'm still going to be covering USC basketball. Or USC sports. I was like, this basketball team has a chance to be special, and I'm not missing out on a special run after seeing USC lose 42-36 to Cal Poly. Yeah. I had to cover that game too. Teams with no name recruits on. Now you're getting 5-star recruits.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna still cover this team at least. And there's some great players on the team, great personalities.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to have a story for you guys. Around Christmas, maybe between Christmas and New Year's, about Chavez Goodwin, his backstory, and what goes into his number. He wears the number 1. I asked all the players why they wear the number that they wear. So some interesting kind of funny stuff there as well.
Cool.
So it's a story that I think is going to be pretty fun. So hopefully I get some time after this trip. The sojourn starts tomorrow. Basically, as soon as the press conference ends, I'm going to be driving to Arizona because USC basketball plays there tomorrow. Or Saturday, excuse me, that play Georgia Tech. Interesting game because a couple of former players from USC are on that Georgia Tech roster. And then USC will travel to Oklahoma City to play Oklahoma State. So I will follow them to Oklahoma, drive out that way. And then from there, I will continue my jaunt onto the East Coast destination.
Nice.
It's only fitting that he gets a basketball minute in, It's full
of course,
circle.
No.
First. Full circle.
Let's also give a shout out to Isaiah Mobley, who is playing like a beast right now. He's averaging 19 points and I think 11 rebounds his last 6 games.
Wow.
4 straight 20-point performances in the Galen Center. He's got double-doubles in 5 of his last 6 games. He's now averaging a double-double. Early consideration, Pac-12 Player of the Year. He should definitely be in the mix. And Chavez Goodwin said yesterday in the presser, he's like, if this man's not in Pac-12 Player of the Year consideration, what are we doing in this conference?
And his brother's doing okay, too.
Evan's doing pretty well. The Cavs have been covering the spread almost every game, some ridiculous like 17-game streak.
Yeah.
So, the Cavs are playing well. The Mobley brothers are doing their thing and helping lead their teams. And Eric Mobley on the bench for USC. It's been fun for him watching those two grow up while still being able to coach them as well.
Yeah, if you haven't watched on this channel, the YouTube channel, Isaiah Mobley and Chavez Goodwin's presser from last night, it was great. Shotgun asked a question that they went on a 7-minute answer. It felt like a podcast, but they are great personalities, and it was really cool. You kind of get the personality of the team through that interview, so make sure you watch it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, very similar to the Mark Watkins asking an open-ended question. It was like Tim Tesselon, the SID, said last question. So I asked them about each other. And that elicited a back and forth conversation for a little while.
It was really great though, so make sure you check it out. Alrighty, gentlemen, any final thoughts before we wrap this show up?
Gonna miss my buddy Shotgun sitting here.
Shotty Spratt.
But he's still involved. Don't worry, he's not gone. He's gonna still be doing stuff. You'll still hear about his stuff. He'll still be on the podcast. We'll still get him on this. So
he'll still be tweeting.
But we
nonstop.
We definitely will miss him being here. So.
For sure.
I'm gonna miss his hair too.
I think we all will.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Still haven't processed that either.
You gone.
Alrighty, Shadi, any final thoughts before we end the show?
This has been a fun journey, like I said, and it's been so much fun. I've said this multiple times in the last couple weeks, but it's been so much fun, even this year when the football team has been terrible, the play on the field has been terrible. You guys coming up and showing your support and telling us how much you enjoy the podcast or that you watch Tunnel Vision. I mean, the fact that we've had the last couple of shows, we've been over 1,000 viewers at this show, getting over 600 when, USC didn't really kill yesterday. it's been phenomenal to see the participation and love the fact for you guys that everyone, there's more excitement now for you. I know there's some bad doldrums for this team the last couple of years, and people just saying it's not good for my health to follow this team.
Yes.
I gotta unsubscribe, I gotta log off, whatever it is. And for you guys to be able to have that excitement going forward, we'll see how it goes. I don't know that this first season, the schedule works out nice for them, but I think there's still some definite questions there. little bit better now that we see those offensive linemen come back. So I thought that was going to be a big issue for them. But we'll see what the team looks like and how they go forward. But I'm happy for you guys to see the excitement come back for everyone being able to follow this team as a fan.
Yeah.
Dave S. said, Keely, please be sure to pack up some stock neutral for Shoddy to take with him. Don't you worry. I packed it up to the brim in Plenty. His car.
There's no room in my car for pretty much anything.
He has stock neutral for
I've
days.
Actually got a re-Tetris because I wasn't able to see out of the, you know, I can't look over my shoulder to check my blind spot right now. I could barely see one mirror. Literally, this is what happened yesterday. You know, it was a couple minutes late to the meetup that we were having before the game. And thank you, everyone that came over and said hello and you know, or stopped by during the game at different times. But I was trying to finish charting. I also had to do the last packing of everything in the apartment because I had to be out of the apartment. And so trying to jam everything in the car to figure out what would go, what needed to be thrown away. So it was a fun little ordeal trying to do that while sprinting back and forth from my car, which always ends up being the case. For me, every time I pack up and move somewhere, it's never like, oh, we have plenty of time. It's literally a sprint back and forth.
Well, because you're late to everything, Shaka.
That is not true. But when I lived in one quick story, when I lived in Crenshaw my first year at USC, I moved to Sherman Oaks to live with my best friend my second year. And that I was doing it in the summer. We had some buddies come in for a baseball road trip, went to Dodger Stadium, Angel Stadium, went to San Diego, went up to San Francisco, came back. So I'm trying to pack everything into my car to move my stuff up there. And I'm also catching a flight to go to South Africa for an internship.
The most shocking thing ever.
Jeez.
And I had to make a couple trips. And the last trip, there was traffic. And I was like, there's no way I'm making this flight if I go on the 10 and if I go north on the 405. So I was like, can you come pick up my car? And his brother, I was moving in with him and his brother. So he was like, yeah, we can drive down, just leave the key where we can find it type of thing.
Nice.
Or else I would have missed a flight to South Africa.
Holy cow.
Wow. Well, on that note.
Yeah.
Time to wrap it up. Shoddy, thanks so much for all your contributions on Tunnel Vision. I'm still going to do Instant tomorrow. I'm going to save my niceness goodbye, for tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah, it's so weird. I'm not accepting this. Alrighty, that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. Be sure to stay tuned for Monday. Monday's Tunnel Vision episode with Brandon Sosna, Chief Staff, USC Athletic Department. So be sure to stay tuned for that. Make sure you brainstorm the questions. He's a tough one to crack. So start thinking of your questions now. That's going to wrap it up. That's Ryan. That's Shotgun. I'm Keely. We'll see y'all next time.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.